One of the things that John the Baptist does in the scriptures is he forms a kind of a threshold between the old covenant and the new. He sort of sums up all of the prophetic utterance through the generations, predicting the Messiah, and he, the last of all the prophets, points to him and says, "Look, there goes the Lamb of God." And here in that gospel today, we see the old covenant recognizing the new covenant and leaping in the womb for joy. The point of this story in Luke's gospel is that John the Baptist, who symbolizes the law, the covenant, the Old Testament, you might say, turns and recognizes and welcomes and embraces the new human being, Christ. So what's the difference between that old covenant and the new covenant? Well, it's pretty well summed up in that reading from St. Paul this morning. Actually, that's not Paul. It's from the letter to the Hebrews. And the author there suggests that the old sacrifices, the sin offerings, the holocausts, the sacrificing animals, all of that has been done away with because it just had to be repeated over and over again because the priest himself was a sinner and nothing ever was fully accomplished for our salvation. It just kind of took care of it day by day by day. But Christ offers not the blood of goats and rams, but his own blood. He offers not the flesh of calves and bulls, but his own flesh. He says, "Behold, I come to do your will." You see, Jesus, who is Son of God and Son of Mary, he who is fully human and fully divine at the same time, shows us what it looks like in human form to be God, to be divine. And it looks like a self-offering. It looks like someone not born in a palace and riches and or powerful army or things that they often expected of the Messiah, you know, a bold and commanding figure. No, he's born in a stable, born to poor, ignorant, uneducated parents, nobodies. And then he remains a kind of a nobody through his whole life. People are attracted to him partly because of his miracles, partly because just of the pure truth of his teaching, the authenticity that they had never experienced in any other way. And then they suffer through the scandal of his death by crucifixion, a death that was reserved for criminals. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not be crucified no matter how horrible you were. It was for slaves. It was for the worst of humanity. And this God come into human flesh looks like that. It's a scandal. And yet John the Baptist, even in the womb, leaps for joy at the coming of this man. Jesus offers himself on the altar of sacrifice, which is the cross, for our salvation. And the author to the letter to the Hebrews says, "Behold, I come to do your will." Was that the will of the Father? Actually, it was. And the will of the Father and the will of the Son are one and the same. He comes to do the Father's will. It's almost like there aren't two wills, there's only one. They are so conjoined in the union that's in the Trinity. It is the nature of God to give himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all giving of themselves all of the time, laying down their lives for the other two and receiving back from the other two. This is who God is. And it comes as a bit of a shock to us humans because we expect power and glory and fame and riches and all the things that this world holds up as valuable and true. But when we recognize God, it's always in poverty. It's always in self-abasement. It's always in the giving of self. It's never in the taking. It's never in the receiving. It's always in the giving. And we spend most of our Christian lives coming to grips with that in various ways, finding out the truth of Jesus' sayings over and over again. The only way to gain your life is to lose it. The only way to receive is to first give. The only way to rise is to first die. And the death and resurrection of Christ shows us once and for all, shows the human race once and for all, that to die is to live. To let go is to receive. On Friday, we're going to be celebrating Christmas, the feast of the Incarnation, the self-emptying God who emptied himself of his divinity to take on our humanity, so that we could take on his divinity. He shows us the perfect human being. He shows us what it looks like to be God in human form. And then he sends us his spirit. He breathes that spirit into us so that it dwells in our very bodies and joins us to him. And every Sunday here, we celebrate that at the altar. The sacrifice of the Mass is the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, celebrated by Christ the head in heaven and his members, the body, on earth. It's one sacrifice, and we're all offering it together. And so when we join ourselves to this sacrifice, it's a kind of a laying down of our lives too. You know, when those gifts come down the aisle and get placed on the altar, the bread and wine, think of those gifts as representing you. We are laying ourselves on the altar with Christ, joining in his sacrifice, a union that is so strong we call it communion. This one sacrifice, this one people, this one body of Christ joined to its head sacramentally here at the altar, and then we receive it back in Holy Communion. This is the greatest thing we do in this life and on this earth. This is the joining of our lives to heaven, joining of our lives to Christ, who is God. The offering of our lives, in which a few minutes later we receive back the very divinity of Christ.